Welcome to worship with First Presbyterian Church of Bend. We practice what we call a spacious Christianity, where there's room for everyone, and we mean everyone. No matter where you find yourself on the faith journey, even if you find yourself without faith, you are so very welcome here. We welcome your questions and doubts and see them as gifts that invite us into deeper conversations. We celebrate diversity and believe it's a strength. And we remind you every single week that you are made in the image of God's goodness and that you are so very loved. You know, we do our best to live the spacious and radical love of Jesus so that all might have a chance to flourish in this world. As we try our best to practice a spacious Christianity, we hope here that you can find space to breathe, a faith you can believe in, and a God who believes in you. We're so very glad to worship with you in this way, but if you find yourself in the area on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. or 10 a.m., we'd love to have the chance to greet you in person. Take a deep breath and know that whether you're sitting on the couch, at your desk, in bed, maybe even washing dishes, the presence of God's love is as close to you as your own breath. And it's my prayer today that you might become aware and experience the presence of that love in a new way through our worship. Because when that happens, it changes the way we are present in the world. Welcome.
I believe in the Son. Thank you.
Psalm 23 says, "Even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid, for thou art with me." I mean, that's our spiritual work for 2024. As we walk through the valley of the shadows with all that's happening in the world, all that's happening in our lives, our spiritual work is to not react from a place of fear, anxiety, anger, but instead connect with our spiritual core so that we might respond to life's challenges from a deeper place of wisdom and love. There's a space between all that happens to us in life and how we respond. And in that space resides the awareness of God's presence. In that space resides our strength. In that space resides wisdom and strength. A study was done at Harvard Medical School looking at brain scans from MRIs of people who took part in an 8-week meditation training, simply focused on slow, deep breathing. A sustained practice of slow, deep breathing shrank the amygdala, which is the fear center in the brain, and thickened the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that supports clarity and reflection and good decision-making. So in other words, a sustained practice of creating space reduced fear and anxiety and increased thoughtfulness. Less fear, more wisdom. Now that could change the world. But the problem is that for most of us these days, there is no space. Or the space is razor, razor thin. I was at a red light and the light turned green. And the driver in front of me didn't move as she was looking at her cell phone. And I missed the light. And I'm embarrassed to say that I was irate, fuming, hands clenched the steering wheel, ready to blast my horn. Until I realized it was somebody from my church. Yikes. I took a deep breath. You know, my reaction was so disproportionate to the event. I mean, have you ever overreacted? Think of a scale of 0 to 10, with 0 being calm and centered, and 10 is you're about to blow a gasket. I actually think we're living at 8 or 9 these days, with 24-hour cycles of breaking news, mental health struggles, loneliness, conflict, division, polarization, climate change, war, gun violence, lack of affordable housing, addictions. I could go on. The air we breathe is saturated with fear and anger and anxiety. Life is so relentless that 8 or 9 on that scale I mentioned starts to feel normal. And we fool ourselves into thinking that we're actually at 3 or 4. But the space between what happens and how we respond is actually razor thin. And all it takes is for someone to look at their phone when the light turns green to push us over the edge. And when we react from anger and frustration or fear, it just adds to the stress. Our spiritual work for 2024 is to commit to practices that will widen the space between what happens and how we respond. Because in that space resides the power to choose love over fear. You know, each one of us is a critical link in the chain of consciousness required to change our own reality and to change the world. So imagine a world where there's less fear and anger and more wisdom and love. A few years ago, my wife was critically ill in the ICU, fighting for her life. And a nurse could tell that I was overwhelmed with worry and anxiety. On that scale, I was beyond 10. I was breathless with fear. The space within me was not just razor thin. There was no space. And the nurse said to me, "Stephen, you're going to make yourself sick continuing to worry about what might happen tomorrow." And she said something really interesting. She said, "Here in the ICU, we live in 6-hour installments, sometimes 6 minutes, even 6 seconds. But here we never think past 6 hours." And she said, "Here's my best wisdom. Try the best you can to live in 6-hour installments." She said, "I know you're feeling helpless, but you are not powerless. Focus your mind and your heart on bringing as much love and heart and soul to these next 6 hours as you can." She told me, "Your wife doesn't need your fear and anxiety. What your wife needs is the full presence of your love. The presence of your love," she said, "is healing and the medicine your wife needs right now. And it's not needed yesterday. It's not needed tomorrow. It's needed right now." And this nurse actually suggested, she probably may not have known it, but she suggested some spiritual practices. She told me that whenever I felt overcome by anxiety or fear, to stand up, to put lotion on my hands, to take deep, slow breaths, and to slowly and rhythmically rub my wife's feet, imagining that I'm sending the healing energy of my love to every cell of her being. And she told me to set a chime on my watch, so at the beginning of every hour, to stand up and to go to my wife and to remind her, just whisper in her ear, that she's safe, that she's loved, that she's not alone. Honestly, these simple spiritual practices saved my life. They widened the space between what was happening and how I was responding. And in that space, I had the chance to breathe. I became aware of God's presence. I mean, God's presence is always there. We just don't notice it in our fear and anxiety. In that space, love had a chance to breathe, helping me to choose love over fear. That's our spiritual work in 2024. As we walk through valleys where there's so many shadows threatening to overwhelm us, our world doesn't need more anger, anxiety, fear. Our world needs us to show up with the fullness of our love. Our spiritual work is to commit to those practices that will help us widen the space between all that's happening and how we respond. To let love breathe. To let love breathe in and through us in 6-hour installments. Last week I mentioned that neuroscientists have proven that if you have a sustained spiritual practice of contemplating a God of unconditional love, and you remind yourself daily that you are a reflection of that love, it actually awakens and strengthens the part of your brain connected to empathy. In other words, taking the time to breathe, to widen the space, to be present to the divine love that is always present to you, literally makes you a more empathetic and loving person. The Dalai Lama said, "The brain we develop reflects the lives we lead." It actually reminds me of the Apostle Paul, who said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I mean, maybe Jesus was the first neuroscientist. As Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind." Jesus said, "Don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Our brains have a built-in negativity bias that is called the fight-flight syndrome. What this means is that our brains have a propensity to experience negative events more intensely in order to alert us to potential danger. Now, this built-in negativity bias was actually vital when we humans lived as hunter-gatherers, ever at the ready to flee from a hungry lion. But today, this bias tends to cause excessive negativity. It tends to create anxiety and tends to make us overreact. It causes us to assume the worst and overreact because we're constantly in fight-flight mode. Compassion, empathy, wisdom don't have any space to breathe when fight-flight is in charge. And frankly, some people, many people, live their lives in a constant state of fight-flight. You know, maybe there were times when you weren't safe, when you were younger. And those automatic responses of fight, flight, actually served you well and helped keep you safe. The problem is that what may have served us earlier in our lives so often works against us later on. Our brains can kind of get stuck. And we keep reacting as if everything is a threat, even if it's not. We fight when we really don't have to. We run away when it's not called for. The brain's automatic response of flooding our bodies with adrenaline to fight or to flee may have actually helped us survive truly dangerous situations once upon a time. But pushing people away who could actually love us, judging, attacking, assuming the worst in people, assuming everything is a threat, putting up walls so we don't feel vulnerable, withdrawing, always running away, those things no longer serve us or serve the world. These automatic reactions are not the path of healing, the path of love we need in the present. But the good news is we're not condemned to primal negativity. The good news is our brains can change. We can change. Neuroscientists have discovered something else about the miraculous way that God has created us. The brain has the capacity to change, to create new neural pathways, to reshape existing neural pathways. And this is called neuroplasticity. I actually think Jesus understood this when he said, "Stop worrying. Consider the lilies." In other words, Jesus was saying, breathe. Just take a moment to meditate on the beauty of this flower. Take a moment to savor goodness. Take a moment to widen the space between all that's happening and how you will respond. Georgia O'Keeffe said, "Nobody sees a flower, really. It's so small. We haven't time. And to see, to really see, takes time, space. Like to have a friend takes time." You know, this quote reminds me of how rarely we take time in our hurried, chaotic, over-anxious world. How rarely we take time to notice, savor goodness, beauty, love. Because of the fight-flight mechanisms of our brains, negative emotions, fear, anxiety, anger, are experienced, received, absorbed, stored immediately. But it takes at least 15 seconds of savoring positive emotions for those positive emotions to be fully received, experienced, and stored. That's why Jesus said, stop, breathe, consider the lily, create the space to savor goodness, beauty, love, because it will change the neural pathways in your brain. It will change you and how you respond to life. You know, the simple spiritual practice of slowing down and breathing slowly and deeply can actually help us hijack our brains back into the present moment when our brain starts telling us to fight or to flee. It's like God has given us this reset button, readily available and as close to us as our next breath. That's our spiritual work in 2024. When the air is so saturated with fear and anxiety, and there's so much anger. When the space between all that's happening in our world and in our lives is razor thin. Our spiritual work is to commit to those spiritual practices that will widen that space, that will let love breathe, that will let love breathe in and through us, that will help us to choose love over fear. Each one of us is a critical link in the chain of consciousness required to change our own reality and change the world. Imagine, just imagine a world where there's less fear and anger and more wisdom and love. Such a world is as close to us as our next breath. May it be so.
When I can't take the first step, when all I'm holding is my breath, I pray that you are there.
When I can't seem to forget, when I can't see the morning light yet, I pray that you are there. I pray love is greater than fear.
Love is
greater than fear. Love is greater than, greater.
Friends, go in the peace and the love of Christ. Commit to those spiritual practices that will widen the space between what happens and how you respond. Take deep breaths. Let love breathe in and through you. And as you show up in this world, bringing the fullness of your love to each six-hour installment in front of you, may the love you bring to this world bring peace to others. Amen. Friends, we sincerely hope that you have found this broadcast and worship meaningful. And please help us make it possible to reach others with the important message of a spacious Christianity. First Presbyterian seeks to serve Jesus by serving the needs of others, showing up in our community and the world when and where love and compassion are needed the most. And your generosity helps us to be generous in love and to offer hope at a time when hope is in short supply for so many. So financial gifts, large and small, make a huge difference in helping us continue these broadcasts and helping us continue to serve the needs of others in our community and in the world. You can give online at bendfp.org. You can use the QR code on your screen, or simply mail a check to the address below. We hope to see you again, and please reach out to us if we can support you in any way. Until the next time, may God bless you, and may you be a blessing to others.